Chapter 17. Coast, to see what method we could find out for our passage into Europe. There happened several remarkable incidents in this part of our journey, as to how we were, or were not, received friendly by the several nations of savages through which we passed, how we delivered one Negro king from captivity, who had been a benefactor to our new guide, and now our guide, in gratitude, by our assistance, restored him to his kingdom, which, perhaps, might contain about 300 subjects, how he entertained us, and how he made his subjects go with our Englishmen, and fetch all our elephants' teeth which we had been obliged to leave behind us, and to carry them for us to the river, the name of which I forgot, where we made rafts, and in 11 days more came down to one of the Dutch settlements on the Gold Coast, where we arrived in perfect health, and to our great satisfaction. As for our cargo of teeth, we sold it to the Dutch factory, and received clothes and other necessaries for ourselves, and such of our Negroes as we thought fit to keep with us. And it is to be observed, that we had 4 pounds of gunpowder left, when we ended our journey. The Negro prince we made perfectly free, clothed him out of our common stock, and gave him 1.5 pounds of gold for himself, which he knew very well how to manage. And here we all parted after the most friendly manner possible. Our Englishman remained in the Dutch factory some time, and, as I heard afterwards, died there of grief, for he having sent 1,000 pounds sterling over to England, by the way of Holland, for his refuge at his return to his friends, the ship was taken by the French and the effects all lost. The rest of my comrades went away, in a small bark, to the 2 Portuguese factories, near Gambia, in the latitude of 14, and I, with 2 Negroes which I kept with me, went away to Cape Coast Castle, where I got passage for England, and arrived there in September, and thus ended my first harvest of wild oats. The rest were not sowed to so much advantage. I had neither friend, relation, nor acquaintance in England, though it was my native country. I had consequently no person to trust with what I had, or to counsel me to secure or save it. But, falling into ill company, and trusting the keeper of a public house in Rotherhithe with a great part of my money, and hastily squandering away the rest, all that great sum, which I got with so much pains and hazard, was gone in little more than 2 years' time. And, as I even rage in my own thoughts, to reflect upon the manner how it was wasted, so I need record no more. The rest merits to be concealed with blushes, for that it was spent in all kinds of folly and wickedness. So this scene of my life may be said to have begun in theft, and ended in luxury, a sad setting out, and a worse coming home. About the year I began to see the bottom of my stock, and that it was time to think of further adventures. For my spoilers, as I call them, began to let me know that as my money declined, their respect would ebb with it, and that I had nothing to expect of them further than as I might command it by the force of my money, which, in short, would not go an inch the further for all that had been spent in their favor before. This shocked me very much, and I conceived a just abhorrence of their ingratitude. But it wore off. Nor had I met with any regret at the wasting so glorious a sum of money as I brought to England with me. I next shipped myself, in an evil hour to be sure, on a voyage to Cadiz, in a ship called the, and in the course of our voyage, being on the coast of Spain, was obliged to put into the groin, by a strong southwest wind. Here I fell into company with some masters of mischief, and, among them, one, forwarder than the rest, began an intimate confidence with me, so that we called one another brothers, and communicated all our circumstances to one another. His name was Harris. This fellow came to me one morning, asking me if I would go on shore, and I agreed. So we got the captain's leave for the boat, and went together. When we were together, he asked me, if I had a mind for an adventure, that might make amends for all past misfortunes. I told him, yes, with all my heart, for I did not care where I went, having nothing to lose, and no one to leave behind me. He then asked me if I would swear to be secret, and that, if I did not agree to what he proposed, I would nevertheless never betray him. I readily bound myself to that, upon the most solemn imprecations and curses that the devil and both of us could invent. He told me then, there was a brave fellow in the other ship, pointing to another English ship which rode in the harbor, who, in concert with some of the men, had resolved to mutiny the next morning, and run away with the ship, and that, if we could get strength enough among our ship's company, we might do the same. I liked the proposal very well, and he got 8 of us to join with him, and he told us, that as soon as his friend had begun the work, and was master of the ship, we should be ready to do the like. This was his plot, and I, without the least hesitation, either at the villainy of the fact, or the difficulty of performing it, came immediately into the wicked conspiracy, and so it went on among us. But we could not bring our part to perfection. Accordingly, on the day appointed, his correspondent in the other ship, whose name was Wilmot, began the work, and, having seized the captain's mate and other officers, secured the ship, and gave the signal to us. We were but 11 in our ship, who were in the conspiracy, nor could we get any more that we could trust. So that, leaving the ship, we all took the boat, and went off to join the other. Having thus left the ship I was in, we were entertained with a great deal of joy by Captain Wilmot and his new gang, and, being well prepared for all manner of roguery, bold, desperate, I mean myself, without the least checks of conscience for what I was entered upon, or for anything I might do, much less with any apprehension of what might be the consequence of it. I say, having thus embarked with this crew, which at last brought me to consort with the most famous pirates of the age, some of whom have ended their journals at the gallows, I think the giving an account of some of my other adventures may be an agreeable piece of story, and this I may venture to say beforehand, upon the word of a pirate, that I shall not be able to recollect the full, no, not by far, of the great variety which has formed one of the most reprobate schemes that ever man was capable to present to the world. I that was, as I have hinted before, an original thief, and a pirate, even by inclination before, was now in my element, and never undertook anything in my life with more particular satisfaction. Captain Wilmot, for so we are now to call him, being thus possessed of a ship, and in the manner as you have heard, it may be easily concluded he had nothing to do to stay in the port, or to wait either the attempts that might be made from the shore, or any change that might happen among his men. On the contrary, we weighed anchor the same tide, and stood out to sea, steering away for the Canaries. Our ship had 22 guns, but was able to carry 30, and besides, as she was fitted out for a merchant ship only, she was not furnished either with ammunition, or small arms sufficient for our design, or for the occasion we might have in case of a fight. So we put in 2 caddas, that is to say, we came to an anchor in the bay, and the captain, and one whom we called young Captain Kidd, who was the gunner, landed. And some of the men who could best be trusted, among whom was my comrade Harris, who was made second mate, and myself, who was made a lieutenant. Some bales of English goods were proposed to be carried on shore with us for sale, but my comrade, who was a complete fellow at his business, proposed a better way for it, and having been in the town before, told us, in short, that he would buy what powder and bullet, small arms, or anything else we wanted, on his own word, to be paid for, when they came on board, in such English goods as we had there. This was much the best way, and accordingly he and the captain went on shore by themselves, and having made such a bargain as they found for their turn, came away again in 2 hours' time, and bringing only a butt of wine, and 5 casks of brandy with them, we all went on board again. The next morning 2 barcos longos came off to us, deeply laden, with 5 Spaniards on board them, for traffic. Our captain sold them good pennyworths, And they delivered us 16 barrels of powder, 12 small rundlets of fine powder for our small arms, 60 muskets, and 12 fusees for the officers. 17 ton of cannonball, 15 barrels of musket bullets, with some swords and 20 good pair of pistols. Besides this, they brought 13 butts of wine, for we, that were now all become gentlemen, scorned to drink the ship's beer, also 16 puncheons of brandy, with 12 barrels of raisins and 20 chests of lemons, all which we paid for in English goods. And, over and above, the captain received 600 pieces of 8 in money. They would have come again, but we would stay no longer. From hence we sailed to the Canaries, and from thence onward to the West Indies, where we committed some depredation upon the Spaniards for provisions, and took some prizes, but none of any great value, while I remained with them, which was not long at that time. For, having taken a Spanish sloop on the coast of Carthagena, my friend made a motion to me, that we should desire Captain Wilmot, to put us into the sloop, with a proportion of arms and ammunition, and let us try what we could do, she being much fitter for our business than the great ship, and a better sailor. This he consented to, and we appointed our rendezvous at Tobago, making an agreement, that whatever was taken by either of our ships, should be shared among the ship's company of both, all which we very punctually observed, and joined our ships again, about 15 months after, at the island of Tobago, as above. We cruised near 2 years in those seas, chiefly upon the Spaniards. Not that we made any difficulty of taking English ships, or Dutch, or French, if they came in our way, and particularly, Captain Wilmot attacked a New England ship bound from the Madeiras to Jamaica, and another bound from New York to Barbados, with provisions, which last was a very happy supply to us. But the reason why we meddled as little with English vessels as we could, was, first, because, if they were ships of any force, we were sure of more resistance from them, and, secondly, because we found the English ships had less booty when taken, for the Spaniards generally had money on board, and that was what we best knew what to do with. Captain Wilmot was, indeed, more particularly cruel when he took any English vessel, that they might not too soon have advice of him in England, and so the men of war have orders, to look out for him. But this part I bury in silence for the present. We increased our stock in these 2 years considerably, having taken 60,000 pieces of 8 in one vessel, and 100,000 in another. And being thus first grown rich, we resolved to be strong too, for we had taken a brigantine built at Virginia, an excellent sea boat, and a good sailor, and able to carry 12 guns, and a large Spanish frigate-built ship, that sailed incomparably well also, and which afterwards, by the help of good carpenters, we fitted up to carry 28 guns. And now we wanted more hands, so we put away for the Bay of Campeche, not doubting we should ship as many men there as we pleased, and so we did. Here we sold the sloop that I was in, and Captain Wilmot keeping his own ship, I took the command of the Spanish frigate as captain, and my comrade Harris as eldest lieutenant, and a bold enterprising fellow he was, as any the world afforded. One culverton was put into the brigantine, so that we were now 3 stout ships, well manned, and victualled for 12 months, for we had taken 2 or 3 sloops from New England and New York, laden with flour, peas, and barreled beef and pork, going for Jamaica and Barbados. And for more beef we went on shore on the island of Cuba, where we killed as many black cattle as we pleased, though we had very little salt to cure them. Out of all the prizes we took here we took their powder and bullet, their small arms and cutlasses. And as for their men, we always took the surgeon and the carpenter, as persons who were of particular use to us upon many occasions. Nor were they always unwilling to go with us, though for their own security, in case of accidents, they might easily pretend they were carried away by force. Of which I shall give a pleasant account in the course of my other expeditions. We had one very merry fellow here, a Quaker, whose name was William Walters, whom we took out of a sloop bound from Pennsylvania to Barbados. He was a surgeon, and they called him Doctor, but he was not employed in the sloop as a surgeon, but was going to Barbados to get a berth, as the sailors call it. However, he had all his surgeon's chests on board, and we made him go with us, and take all his implements with him. He was a comic fellow indeed, a man of very good solid sense, and an excellent surgeon. But, what was worth all, very good humored and pleasant in his conversation, and a bold, stout, brave fellow too, as any we had among us. I found William, as I thought, not very averse to go along with us, and yet resolved to do it, so that it might be apparent he was taken away by force, and to this purpose he comes to me. Friend, says he, thou sayest I must go with thee, and it is not in my power to resist thee if I would, but I desire thou wilt oblige the master of the sloop which I am on board, to certify under his hand, that I was taken away by force, and against my will. And this he said with so much satisfaction in his face, that I could not but understand him. Eh, eh, says I, whether it be against your will or no, I'll make him, and all the men give you a certificate of it, or I'll take them all along with us, and keep them till they do. So I drew up a certificate myself, wherein I wrote, that he was taken away by main force, as a prisoner, by a pirate ship, that they carried away his chest and instruments first, and then bound his hands behind him, and forced him into their boat. And this was signed by the master and all his men. Accordingly I fell a swearing at him, and called to my men, to tie his hands behind him, and so we put him into our boat, and carried him away. When I had him on board, I called him to me. Now, friend, says I have brought you away by force, it is true, but I am not of the opinion I have brought you away, so much against your will as they imagine. Come, says I, you will be a useful man to us, and you shall have very good usage among us. So I unbound his hands, and first ordered all things that belonged to him to be restored to him, and our captain gave him a dram. Thou hast dealt friendly by me, says he, and I will be plain with thee, whether I came willingly to thee or not. I shall make myself as useful to thee as I can, but thou knowest it is not my business to meddle when thou art to fight. No, no, says the captain, but you may meddle a little when we share the money. Those things are useful to furnish a surgeon's chest, says William, and smiled, but I shall be moderate. In short, William was a most agreeable companion, but he had the better of us in this part, that if we were taken we were sure to be hanged, and he was sure to escape, and he knew it well enough. But, in short, he was a sprightly fellow, and fitter to be captain than any of us. I shall have often an occasion to speak of him in the rest of the story. Our cruising so long in these seas began now to be so well known, that not in England only, but in France and Spain, accounts had been made public of our adventures, and many stories told how we murdered the people in cold blood, tying them back to back, and throwing them into the sea. One half of which, however, was not true, though more was done than is fit to speak of here. The consequence of this, however, was that several English men of war were sent to the West Indies, and were particularly instructed to cruise in the Bay of Mexico, and the Gulf of Florida, and among the Bahama Islands, if possible, to attack us. We were not so ignorant of things as not to expect this, after so long a stay in that part of the world, but the first certain account we had of them was at Honduras, when a vessel coming in from Jamaica told us that two English men of war were coming directly from Jamaica thither in quest of us. We were indeed as it were embayed, and could not have made the least shift to have got off, if they had come directly to us, but, as it happened, somebody had informed them that we were in the Bay of Campeche, and they went directly thither, by which we were not only free of them, but were so much to the windward of them, that they could not make any attempt upon us, though they had known we were there. We took this advantage, and stood away for Carthagena, and from thence with great difficulty, beat it up at a distance from under the shore for St. Martha, till we came to the Dutch island of Curacoa, and from thence to the island of Tobago, which, as before, was our rendezvous, which, being a deserted, uninhabited island, we at the same time made use of for a retreat. Here the captain of the Brigantine died, and Captain Harris, at that time my lieutenant, took the command of the Brigantine. Here we came to a resolution, to go away to the coast of Brazil, and from thence to the Cape of Good Hope, and so for the East Indies. But Captain Harris, as I have said, being now captain of the Brigantine, alleged that his ship was too small for so long a voyage, but that, if Captain Wilmot would consent, he would take the hazard of another cruise, and he would follow us in the first ship he could take. So we appointed our rendezvous to be at Madagascar, which was done by my recommendation of the place, and the plenty of provisions to be at there. Accordingly, he went away from us in an evil hour. For, instead of taking a ship to follow us, he was taken, as I heard afterwards, by an English man of war, and being laid in irons, died of mere grief and anger, before he came to England. His lieutenant, I have heard, was afterwards executed in England for a pirate, and this was the end of the man who first brought me into this unhappy trade. We parted from Tobago 3 days after, bending our course for the coast of Brazil, but had not been at sea above 24 hours, when we were. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.